Welcome to Mastering Logical Fallacies, the online course. This is the audio version of the online course presented at MasteringLogicalFallacies.com. For the complete learning experience, including multimedia presentations, quizzes, assignments, peer-to-peer discussion, instructor interaction, and more, enroll as a student at MasteringLogicalFallacies.com. My name is Beau Bennett, and I am your instructor for this course. In this lesson, we're going to be talking about the slippery slope. The slippery slope can be both a fallacy and it can be a legitimate phenomenon. The important thing is to, of course, distinguish the difference between the two. And, as usual, there is no clear delineation between what is a fallacy and what is not. It takes some real thinking and reasoning skills to figure out which is which. But first, let's talk about the slippery slope as a fallacy. Basically, the way it's defined is when a relatively insignificant first event leads to a succession of other events until eventually you get to a final event, which is generally very significant. This is a fallacy, ultimately, because the connections between each event is generally unwarranted, meaning that there is no real claim as to why one event will lead to the other. It's usually just pure speculation. And usually those events are exaggerated and it just doesn't make sense. And we'll get into some of that in more detail when we talk about the difference between the two. But generally, that's where we talk about, that's where the slippery slope fallacy comes in. And a claim of the slippery slope fallacy usually circles back to the first claim. So it would be, if we do A, then B will happen, then C will happen, then D will happen, which will be horrible and terrible, so therefore we shouldn't do A. And that's the fallacy. The legitimate slippery slope is really not too much different, except we're not talking about unwarranted claims between each event. Each event has better and better reasons. There's more evidence connecting the events, and it's more probable that event D will occur if event A occurs, which will lead off to event B, to event C, and then ultimately event D. So it is kind of like a legitimate way of thinking ahead of time in order to avoid a serious, significant event. What I really should mention is that, in essence, virtually every scientific study that demonstrates or suggests some kind of causality is, in a way, a slippery slope, because you're talking about one event causing another event. Now, for the purpose of this conversation, I'm just going to stick with causation, and I'm not going to talk about correlation. So let's just say, for an example, that a scientific study is being done on teenage pregnancy. I'll use that example again. And let's say that drinking has been shown to increase teenage pregnancy, alcoholic drinking. So we could say event A is drinking alcohol, which leads to event B, which is unprotected sex between teenagers, which ultimately leads to event C, pregnancy. So there we have essentially a slippery slope. If you drink, then you are more likely to get pregnant. So that could be a legitimate claim. It's legitimate because events A and B are connected between, like, behaviorally, there's a connection between the two that could be demonstrated scientifically. And then, of course, between events B and C, having intercourse and getting pregnant, that's a biological connection, which can be demonstrated. It's important to point out and understand that there's not a direct 100% connection between the two. For example, if you have sex, it doesn't mean you're getting pregnant. It means that there's a chance you can get pregnant. Same thing with drinking and leading to more promiscuous behavior. There, it's not 100% that it will happen, but statistically, it's an increase. When it comes to determining what is fallacious and what is legitimate in terms of the slippery slope, there are three key factors that we can look at. The first one has to do with evidence, basically. Is there good evidence between each event, whether it be theoretical evidence or empirical evidence? For example, have studies been done showing evidence, a direct empirical evidence, between these events? On the theoretical side, there may not have been studies that actually have shown that, but other studies could have led to a theory being developed that there would be some causal connection between the two. In either case, we have science determining the events to see if they're actually connected or not. As you can imagine, this isn't a binary conclusion. It's not, is there a connection or is there not a connection? We're talking about the odds of each event being connected. And that could go anywhere from 0% to 100%. But almost always, it's somewhere in the middle. So the stronger the evidence between the two events, that means the stronger the legitimacy of the claim being made. A good example that we could use that demonstrates legitimacy of these events being linked is the example on drinking leading to pregnancy, because the drinking does certainly lead to more promiscuous behavior in certain environments, of course, and then which ultimately leads to pregnancy. So that's a good example. A bad example would be that drinking leads to becoming a crack whore. There's no demonstrable evidence pointing in that direction. So that would be more of the fallacious end of the argument. The next factor we could look at is the number of events in a slope. We could say that a slope has many events. It could have hundreds, technically, or it could also have just two. We could say that point A leads to point B, or event A leads to event B. We could also say that event A leads to event B, to C, to D, to E, to F, and so on. The more events that we have in the chain, the less likely it is that the final event will actually occur, assuming a connection between all of the events, and that each subsequent event actually leads to or increases the probability of the next event. So let's say that we have four different events. Event A, the chance of that occurring is 80%. You think, okay, that's a pretty good chance that that will occur. And if that occurs, then that will lead to event B. And the chance of that event occurring, given event A, would be 80% as well. And you think, well, 80%, that's good. And then if that occurs, it'll lead to event C, 80% again, and event D, 80% again. Now, we are not statistical thinkers for the most part. When we look at something like that, we think each event has a very good chance of occurring. 80%, that's very good. But what we don't realize is as these events are actually connected and each event requires the subsequent event, then we have to multiply the probabilities of these events actually occurring. And as we do that, the percentage of the final event occurring gets lower and lower and lower and lower. So if we multiply 80% times 80% times 80% times 80%, we end up with roughly 41%. So you could see if we added more events to this chain with good probabilities or even lower probabilities, that ultimate percentage, the probability, would keep on getting lower and lower and lower, unless the percentage was 100%. which is next to impossible. We don't find that in reality. We always find a percentage somewhere along the scale from 0 to 100, and it's usually not 0 or not 100. So that's the whole idea of multiplying these percentages and the length of the slope. So if we had, obviously, if we just had 2 points, it would be more realistic to assume that the first event could lead to the second event. And the third factor we could look at in determining how fallacious a slippery slope argument might be is the level of confidence expressed in the final outcome or the final event compared to the actual probability of that event occurring. So let's think about this for a minute. Let's take this one step at a time. We have already talked about how we could figure out the ultimate event, the last event in the chain of the slope, probabilistically by multiplying the percentages of each event occurring. Now, if we are talking about a legitimate slippery slope, then we most likely have some data on the probability of each event occurring. And we could actually look that up and we can get a sense. It doesn't have to be exact, of course. Any kind of social science, we're not talking about an exact science, but we are talking about some kind of estimates and using reason again, figuring this stuff out. But we could get a good sense of, on the scale of probability, how probable is it that the final event would occur? Now, when we're expressing this slippery slope, how exactly is it being expressed? If we say, look, there is no way we should allow drinking at this party because if we do, all these kids are going to get pregnant. Okay, well, that's crazy unless it's a party of all girls. But if it's a party of all girls, then who's there to get them pregnant? So that's just a crazy statement to begin with. But the point is, the confidence expressed was an incredibly high level, stating that, or at least alluding to, the fact that if drinking were allowed, then it would lead to pregnancy. So as we could see, that the confidence really doesn't match the probability. And that's where that would become fallacious, even though we are referring to something that could be demonstrably proven, that increased levels of drinking, teenage drinking, leads to increased levels of promiscuity, unprotected sex, which leads to increased pregnancies. On the other hand, to minimize the fallaciousness of the statement, we could say it in a more, I guess, scientific way, or in a more realistic way. And we could say, look, the more drinking that goes on at this party, then there's a chance that this will lead to increased pregnancy, which is not a good thing. So stating it that way, there's no implicit assumption that simply drinking is going to make these girls pregnant, which the first way we said it certainly implies that's what we mean. And as you could see, of course, there's no hard rule here, and it's subjective, and it's something that you really have to judge by not only the words being spoken, but the tone of the voice and how it's being said and in what context it's being said. So any kind of slippery slope argument, there's a lot that has to be looked at to determine whether it's fallacious or whether it's legitimate. And of course, you have to argue your point in stating why you think it's legitimate or why you think it's fallacious.